Hello, dear friends, and welcome to another episode of Life of Love, where we gather every week to share inspiration, joy, insight on relationships. Today is no exception. Dalen Canlon is our special guest, and he's an author, poet, podcaster, speaker, YouTuber, and I'm just really excited to collaborate with him today. We're in sync with so many things about living with hope and inspiration, and we've just had a great pre-interview, so I'm really excited to introduce him and let you get a glimpse into this man's his vision for himself, his vision for the world. His guidance is wonderful. Dalen, thanks for being here on Life of Love.
Absolutely, Julie. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so pumped.
Yeah. I did gloss over you're an author and a poet, but you also have a book that you've published, and it's a compilation of your prayers and messages from God. And it's such an inspiration. So that's something to celebrate. And just want to shout out that because it's probably one of the reasons we connected. And you sent me some of your poetry and I was like, oh yes, ripple. That's what I'm all about.
Yeah, definitely. You know,
what was your inspiration for Ripple?
Yeah, I think a lot of what God is trying to tell me right now is that he knows me by name. And so, you know, with the book, it starts out with my son, but you could put Dalen. I'm trying to get your attention, you know. But I think I'm always looking for ways to appreciate the here and now because our brain gets to associate with all these things. I'm so fascinated by the concept of association. And so with Ripples, yeah, I think I was just doing some meditation and then I was feeling like not very great. And I just was walking away and there's this tiny little pond and I just saw this tiny little ripple and then just extended all the way across like the entire pond. And I was like, that is so crazy. And then I made a podcast episode like in that moment, like God will provide the splash. All I need to do is provide the ripple. That's it. And so lately, as I've been going out and about and as I've been feeling more and more like guided to reach out to people and such, I'm just reminding myself, I'm not making the splash. I'm not trying to like say like, this is the thing. No, all I'm doing is providing the ripple. And that's it. God provides the splash.
Mm. And that it helps you live with an open heart to know that you're a divine being and God's powering everything. We're very important, but we can rely on him for the power of it all. And that's comforting. So that really struck me. Mm.
Yeah. Would you say with your journey, because I know I looked a little bit into it and just your struggles and highs and lows and how you kind of discovered you didn't really know yourself. How much of your journey do you think was, you know, like knowing that you had that God had a personal knowledge of you?
Yeah. Well, I was brought up in a, you know, very religious, you know, my mom was a communion distributor and I knew that God was important, but that personal, like the personal connection is the huge one. And in the quiet moments in nature, that's when I felt God close. And the, you know, the look, you talked about the look of in Jesus's eyes and the eyes of rescue, that feeling of comfort, that feeling of you're just, you're there and it's this one-on-one type thing. That's when I felt the presence of God the most. And that's when I feel the presence of God the most. And you're right. And I noticed in your book, there's highs and lows. You felt connected. You felt like you're on the right path, like you're flying. And then the next entry, you're like, I've fallen and I don't know where I'm going. And it's like covers came off my toes. And I, you know, and so it's so relatable because, you know, sometimes you just feel like everything's going in the right direction. You're making all the right choices. And then bam, you know, and it's just like, what, I mean, you do everything to try to stay on this high vibration and sometimes you just get knocked down and just to know that everyone's dealing with this. Everyone needs compassion, especially self-compassion. And so, yeah, it's hard. And we were talking about relationships and, you know, you get married and you think that this person's going to look out for you so much. And then the person who's supposed to know you the best sort of doesn't, you know, and you have to stand up for yourself and say what you need. And there's no guarantees, and that can make you feel very alone. So yeah, it's, you know, this life is tricky. So we have the idea that God is there for you one-on-one is a life net. It's definitely something to hold on to.
Yeah. Him being there for you one-on-one, I think is the most beautiful thing.
How did you know that God was there for you one-on-one and not just in a, like in a building or a church? He was like personally your God.
Yeah. Wow. What a question. I think what comes to mind was when I didn't make the basketball team in high school. And then my mom was like, well, you could still be the manager of the team. And that wasn't something I really wanted to do. But I just kind of went for it and then was the manager for those 3 years. And, you know, went to all the games, the practices, water boy, towel guy, all, a lot of different stuff. And I remember this one particular time where usually I'd like watch the team and like help the team out. But there's this one day where the coach was like, hey, I want you to arrange all of the jerseys and stuff. And I have ADHD. I didn't know that at the time, but I did. And so he's like, I want you to arrange all these jerseys. I want to make sure that it's like spotless. I want it to be like great and perfect. And I'm going to come back and talk with you after practice. And he shuts the door. It's just me by myself in this room of all these jerseys. And I'm like, do these need to be washed? Like, how do I rearrange these? And I remember in that moment, you know, I was like 14 years old and being like, God, I need you right now, you know? And so I just kind of prayed and was just thinking like, I don't know. And it's just sometimes like your prayers are not going to be pretty. It's like, it's not going to be like super pretty, and that's okay. Like God just wants you to talk with them. And so I was just like, I don't want to, like, this is hard and I don't even know what I'm doing. And I've never really been like at that point in my life, I'd never been like somebody who's like super duper, like, let's hang up all my clothes super nicely. Like, you know, if anything, my mom would do that for me. But, you know, I kind of just started getting to work. And then when the coach came back, he's like, okay, well, you know, he wasn't like, he was like, that was like an okay job, like an all right job. Maybe we'll have somebody else do that. But it was like, it was an effort. And it was enough. And I think there's been a couple other times or a bunch of times in my life where I've been like, I don't know how to do this, but here's my effort. And it really is not that great a lot of the time is how I look at it. But I'm like, just help this be enough for what needs to happen. And he's helped with that in ways that other people were not able to. And so I think there's a lot of experiences, but that was definitely one of them where I was like, literally the door was shut on me and I could leave, but I was like, I want to stay. I want to help out. I want to serve. And so I just kind of gave it to him basically.
That brings to mind your poem, Action Brings Clarity. And I didn't know if you wanted to share that with the listeners because, you know, sometimes we're like, you know, you just don't know what to do. You don't know how to serve. You don't know how to get out of a funk. You feel like, you know, things are just hard. And sometimes just taking a step, you know, getting outside your door, looking at the stars at night, you know, whatever it is, you're taking some action. And so when I read this poem, it really struck my heart today. And so, yeah, it'd be an honor to hear you read it.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess just a little quick background of the book, it's 25 poems from my perspective and 25 poems from God's perspective. And it takes place with the 8 months after I graduated from college were definitely some of the most painful of my life. Just it seems like a lot of things just kind of more or less falling apart. And I was just like really had to be vulnerable with him and talk with him about it. And yeah, I just kind of gave it all to him. So this is poem 14. And I wrote this in August of this year, but you can imagine it would go along with that time period. So it says, my son, Action brings clarity. Action brings clarity. You have so much charity. Don't forget to let it show. There's a lot of people on the earth whom I love, they long to know. Well done in seeking my face. Well done in giving yourself some grace. Remember that reflection can be really fine, but it can also waste a ton of time. So remember that action brings clarity. Action brings clarity.
I just love it.
We do. Yeah, you like something.
Full of wisdom and the whole thing when you're looking at yourself, it's just wasting time. You don't need to micromanage yourself. Just get out there and shine your light. It's just so wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Your poetry is very, very awesome. And then the same note that compassion, can I read the one about Miss Notes?
Sure. Yeah, go for it.
Because that goes along with the compassion. I just find it so beautiful. Okay. Instead of Miss Notes, do you know what dances in my mind? It's those times you chose joy, eternal treasure to find. My mind is swallowed up in the ashes of your good. My son, remember, the best timber comes from pressurized wood. And I just...
Yeah, that one starts with, anthems of all your good. Yeah, the good things you've done in your life cannot afford to be overlooked. Yeah, anthems of all your good. Yeah, that gives me a lot of peace. Anthems of all my good. He's aware of all those anthems. Anthems are so powerful. You know, you have the Star Spangled Banner is the national anthem. And for me, there's a real powerful feeling with that when I hear it. And yeah, so that's what I really try to remember and really sink into is that God remembers all of our highest highs. And that is what he's thinking about really. And what of course that suggests we can do in the future.
Yeah. And God,
I was just saying like, you know, God's listening to the anthems of all our good. And those are really just a prelude for what we can do in the future. He's not at all looking at like those missed notes and stuff that like you were saying before. He's looking at those small movements.
And God knows what's in your heart. You know, sometimes you come into a situation and you might be misread or, you know, somebody takes something the wrong way. And God knows what your intention was. And even if your intention wasn't all that pure, you always have the choice to redo it and to say, well, you know, that didn't work out. And my intention, you know, if I really look at myself, my intention was, sort of self-serving and I'm not going to do it that way again. And you can learn, God understands that we have to learn, we have to make mistakes and strive to do better. And that's what it's all about. It's not about perfection and, you know, living a fairy tale life. It's about living the life that you're given and your life of love. And, you know, it's not always clean cut and easily understood by everyone around you, but you know, your whole message about just keep going, keep striving is, you know, that's what resonates with me so much. And you mentioned the ADHD and how you weren't diagnosed. When did you get your diagnosis? Because you said you were 14 and you hadn't known yet.
Yeah, I did a good job of flying under the radar, you know, not making the basketball team. I ended up getting into track. So I wanted to make the team so bad. And so, you know, and track helped in so many different ways. So I was able to get all of this dopamine and ADHD. Like you don't really feel dopamine. Like you have to get a ton of dopamine for it to have really any effect on you. Basically, the lower dopamine threshold than really anybody else is what I understand of it. But I was 20. So I was on my 2-year mission trip for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and was in a snowy town, Star, Idaho. And we just had this blizzard come through and we weren't able to leave the house and it was really cold. And we were missionaries. We were supposed to be going out, knocking doors, meeting people all day long and stuff. And I really liked that schedule, you know, it was good. But then all of a sudden we couldn't go outside or do anything. And so the first day I was okay. I just read a ton of church books. And I think I read church books for like 5 or 6 hours straight, you know, just like basically like reading. But then the next day I was losing my mind and I was like, we can't leave. What are we doing? Like we're letting people down. And I just had this big meltdown of sorts. And yeah, I ended up going and talking with the counselor, and this is obviously a shortened version, but they're like, I think you have ADHD. And I was like, huh. But I didn't really figure it out more until later in college and just experimenting with things. And yeah, my older brother has autism. I've always been able to empathize more with people that just have these special needs and such. And turns out I'm on the spectrum too. So that's fun. But it's definitely a very big part of my journey. I believe the ADHD for me is kind of a warrior instinct. I love fighting, as far as having something I'm going after and then going after it. That's when I feel most in line with myself. And that's when I get the most clarity, before I jumped on this interview, I set a timer for 90 minutes. And then I had 6 tasks I wanted to do, and I gave myself 15 minutes to do each one. And so I was just sprinting basically mentally all over the place, And so I did some scripture reading. I did some other preparations for some other things, and I ate some food. And so I had a 15 minute timer for each one. And that helped me to feel good, I guess, as opposed to here's this big block of time and I'm just going to waste the entire thing. When I can break it up like that, it's I can get really excited. I can run 2 miles in 15 minutes. You can do a lot of things in 15 minutes. So.
Mm-hmm. I know it's amazing how time management and just having your goals and I don't know if you do this, but to categorize your spiritual life, your nutrition, your exercise, and your career, you have these quadrants of your life. And if you have your ideal of what you could do every day, and then instead of scrolling through social media or reading, catching them on your Facebook, you could be doing things that actually make you feel accomplished and make you feel good about the time that you had before lunch, before an interview. I know we started at 11:45 and I caught myself cyber shopping because yesterday was Cyber Monday. And then there's other stuff that's still on sale. And I was like, what did I just do with this 2 hours? So I was really happy to have this interview that I was reading your book. And I'm going to focus on this. We're going to have a life of love. It doesn't have anything to do with that Teflon pot I'm going to buy my son. It's so fun. But yeah, it can sneak up. And as an adult diagnosed with ADHD, you have a very specific lens before and after. You definitely can compare when you're doing your strategies versus when you weren't. So I think that's very helpful for other people who struggle.
Yeah.
Did you want to share your ADHD as a tool? That'd be awesome.
So it's interesting because I wrote a poem that I really wasn't meaning for this to happen, but it is how it happened. Was one of the poems I wrote, why did you create me this way? And that's poem 24 of the Me Talking to God poems. I keep talking about my ADHD keeps getting in the way, et cetera, et cetera. And then, number 23, I believe is, or 22 is his talking back to me about the ADHD, Okay. So this was back in September when I wrote the poem, but yeah. My son, your ADHD is a tool. You can make an ocean out of a pool, going so deep in something so small as counting sheep. And that's a great blessing. It could also lead to much distressing if you don't keep it under control. Remember to give rest to your soul, because in a world where everything could be deep, sometimes it's hard for your dear soul to sleep. Your ADHD mirrors the depths of you, teaches you much of what you can do. It's valuable to be able to empathize so deeply, to not throw away something precious that some regard so cheaply. Your ADHD is a tool. It'll make you wise, not a fool. Don't listen to those who say it's a mistake that you are made this way. In your patience, you can master it. It'll be much more than an ally and friend. At times will be the difference between you reaching the beginning and starting at the end.
And I hope that everybody who has something different can plug in their difference. Because it's not just ADHD, that it's a gift. Every single one of everyone's differences is a gift from God. And I think as soon as the general population can hold on to that and to understand that everyone is very precious, and these things that make us different are our gifts, and you know, they help us see the world in our unique way, which is very important. We're not clones. We're not cyborgs. We're all here for a reason. So that just, that was such a blessing to read, to hear you read that. And just thank you. And that's part of your book. So if anyone wants to come back to that, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I really believe I had the thought a couple different times of writing some of these and writing other poems. I've written over 100 poems this year, and these are the ones I felt like needed to be out to the world the most right now. So there you go with that. But you know, with these, you can really like recite them and things can stand out, and they can really help direct where you're putting your energy in that moment. Like that's what they've done for me. Like sometimes I'll still listen to one, you know, I did like a rough recording on my phone. And so sometimes I'll listen to them and it like helps reorient me and give me direction. Like planning of your stars is one of the biggest ones, you know, just knowing that like there is a reason things are planted a certain way, and things, yeah, how God is aware of you in every moment and everything. And yeah, so I'm really excited to get the audible out. That's what I'm super excited for. Somebody's driving down the road and you can hear like all these different silly poems and awesomeness, and the, yeah, just kind of create like a space, you know, 'cause that's what these things can do, is they can create space, just like how music can create a space. Like I've gone into a room that was like a really quiet, chill, nice room, and then somebody starts playing some crazy, crazy music. It can be any kind of music that just has like a, you know, just a less reverent vibe, I guess, or just talking about anything that's not in line with like what God wants us to do. And you can, at least I can feel the difference. I walk in, I'm like, all right, my thoughts are going, we're not staying here. I'm leaving. And so, you know, that's tough to do, but I do hope these poems help create safe spaces and loving spaces and courageous spaces and all these different spaces that maybe they haven't had in their lives. So I hope that this poetry book does that for people.
Yeah. And just to have that experience of that kind of space, and then you want it more. And like you said, if you come into a situation where there's an energy that's contrasts peace, contra love, it doesn't fit anymore. It's like, and that conscious awareness of what you're around, what's surrounding you, the television, movies, anything. It's so powerful to have command of what is being fed to your nervous system, and to respect how you're responding. And you don't have to tolerate it just because it's in your field. You can, like you said, remove yourself, and that's power. That's your sovereignty. There's a lot of things we can't control, but we can control where our body is and what we pay attention to.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've been thinking about this. I was going to make a short about this or something, but I guess I'll share it here. And yeah, it's like, if you ever think you're not powerful, you don't have like the ability to take action. Think about when you were like in school and all of a sudden school's ending, and you're picking up your backpack, you're like throwing everything, and you're going, you're moving, and you're like, we're leaving right now, you know? And so like, that is a powerful feeling, like, and you can put that into whatever it is you want to do. That's a big part of why I love airports so much, Julie. Everybody knows where they're going. They have some kind of intention. Like, I'm going on this plane and I'm excited, I'm going. And when you talk with anybody, like I talk with a lot of people at airports, and there's a general excitement because they're going somewhere and they know where they're going. And not like you have to know where you're going in any instance, but to at least have some understanding of what you're doing and why you're doing it. I mean, there's so much power in that. So yeah, remember those times where you were like, okay, and you just made it happen. You know, like you didn't think about it any longer. You just went for it because the time had passed, or, you know, it's like time to leave, like time to be at school has ended, time to get ready for homework, et cetera, has begun.
I love that metaphor. I'm going to use that when I'm procrastinating and be like, the school bell's ringing, I got to pack up, I got to do this, you know, just get in there. Come on. I love that. That it's in the airport metaphor, like you don't have to know exactly what you're doing once you get to your destination, but if you don't get on that plane and start it, you don't plan the trip, if you don't put yourself in that situation, you'll never get to that fun. So
yeah, thank you. I mean, I think a lot of people, they hang out at the airport too long. You know, they could catch a plane to something and, you know, be talking with a person, like a really cool person, you know, and that's the crazy thing, is we can tell ourselves these things and basically program ourselves to do these things and be like, I'm going to go do this differently. I'm going to go try this. And then you can go and do it. And I think that's one of the best ways to rebuild your relationship with yourself. If you don't trust yourself, is to make those little promises and to keep them, and to also make time for those things, you know, you love doing. You know, I love just going around and talking with random people. And so I try to schedule that, you know, in my schedule of like, this is when I'll just walk around and see if I run into anybody, you know, because lately I've been meeting some people that I know God has put in my path. And it's like, we don't know what God is up to, but we know he's up to something. He's up to a lot of really good things, and it's worth waiting and it's worth trusting on those things.
Yeah. And you mentioned angels, and I was going to ask you, I mean, I do know that some people pop in your lives and they're acting as angels, but do you think that those people that pop in are the angels, or do you think the angels are influencing those people? Like, what's your perspective on the angels? I always like when people write about angels, I like to hear, you know, their perspective, because everyone's different. Everyone experiences the spiritual or supernatural differently. So what's yours?
Yeah. So I think of 2 Kings 6:16, and it's Elisha talking with this young man, and this young man is really, really kind of distraught because they're looking at their enemy that's coming at them. And he's like, there's a lot of them coming. And Elisha looks at the young man and he says, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prays and he says, "Lord, open the eyes of the young man." And the young man's able to see there's concourses of angels, there's chariots, there's all these different things that are there to help out. And so that's a lot of how I look at it, is that there are beings from, you know, the heavens, or however you want to look at it, that are assisting, because there's things I've done that there's no way would have been able to do without some kind of heavenly assistance or guidance or some nudging of some kind. And then there's the angels that are here on the earth more or less to help us out and to strengthen us. And sometimes they just pop in and pop out. That happens, you know, and I know I've done that for people in some people's lives where I want to stay in that person's life. For whatever reason, I was just the angel that popped in and popped out. And I look back and I see that much more clearly. And that is just how it is. Well, the book literally starts with this quote from a member of my church and a talk he gave about angels. And this is the quote, and it's like in the intro of the book. It says, "My beloved brothers and sisters, I testify of angels, both the heavenly and the mortal kind. In doing so, I'm testifying that God never leaves us alone, never leaves us unaided in the challenges that we face." So I think there's a lot of different things, but that's a little bit of a look at how I'd answer that question, is like, they're definitely there to help us out. And yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to look forward to. And there's another quote from, I think it was one of the other members of my church, but he said, "If you live up to your privileges, the angels cannot be restrained from being your associates." So like, if you're doing really good stuff, you're going to get guided. I mean, you look at all these people that have done really awesome, wonderful things, like George Washington, et cetera. You can't tell me that they weren't guided in some way. And George Washington, there's like that painting of him praying like at Valley Forge, you know? So it's like, I believe the greatest things were, there's a lot of inspiration guiding it and helping it happen.
Yeah, there is a common thread with that. My son and I were talking about Rockefeller this morning and how he was very spiritual, and he was, you know, he was a ruthless businessman, but he tithed, he gave 10% even when he was poor. And he was, his base was about his relationship with God. And, you know, there's some that Rockefeller, I mean, that's freaking Rockefeller, right? Came from nothing and as a dynasty. So, you know, it's wonderful to view your life through that lens, that there's angels around you and you can be an angel in someone else's life. And it makes your every day, like, it makes it worth getting up. It makes it worth taking that shower and getting your things done and showing up as your best self and just see what happens. And another thing I always tell people, the angels, there's legions of them there, and it's asking. And with the Bible quote, it was like, he said, please show this young man. And he could see. I mean, it's that initiation. It's that intention. So don't minimize your asking. Your asking is a huge part of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We need to share how we're really feeling. You know, that's how we can get help. You know, one of the other poems, that it's called I Cried With Her, and it's me being at the Orlando airport and walking by this lady, and she's wearing this shirt that, or this sweater that said, like, I choose to be courageous, or something to that effect. And I walked past her, and I had an Uber I needed to catch, and, you know, I was there for PodFest and stuff, and I knew I had that, but I walked by her and I just thought I should say something. And so I said, it's difficult to be courageous though sometimes, isn't it? And she just started crying and just was like, it really is. And she just really opened up to me. And so I just sat down next to her and talked, and we read some scriptures together. We prayed, and I just talked for the next like hour and a half or something like that, you know, and it was a beautiful moment. And I wrote a poem about it, but it's just like, how, if we are willing to share how we're really feeling, then we can get all of the help we need. And that's a big message of the book in general, is that, you know, if you're vulnerable and you tell God everything, then everything is going to get better, because he already knows all these things. We can't tell him anything he doesn't know, but we can learn those things about ourselves as we're sharing those things with him. Like, oh yeah, I really ought to be more honest about this because I haven't been honest about it. And then you can go deeper into that, and then all these things can happen. So yeah, a big part of it is the honesty and to open up.
Yeah. And it's less scary once you're able to express it. It's like you, like we talked about creating space. It's like you made space for yourself to be there. And once it's just there, and you're still alive, you're still kicking, you can, like you said, you can go deeper, you can sort it out, you can get the help you need, but it keeps you present, and it keeps you grounded when you can really be there and you're not running from it. In my experience, running from it just makes it come back even harder. You might get a small respite, but it's going to come back as a sledgehammer. So be brave, people. If there's one thing you take from this podcast, is, you know, be brave, be vulnerable, and you can live the life of love that you dream of. It's just that courage to just take that step, book your flight to the life of love.
There you go. Now boarding.
Now boarding, everybody. There's room for all. Oh, Dallin, thank you for sharing your gold. And I did want to plug your podcast. It's the Flex of Gold podcast, where you have more spiritual messages on a week. It's a biweekly, right? Are you?
Well, so there's the Flex of Gold podcast that is daily. And then Yield Today is twice a week. So Yield Today is the one I've been doing a lot longer. And that's one where I interview people and such. I'm still figuring it out, but they're good spaces for me to just kind of share things and talk with people. And yeah, I enjoy them. They're fun. I'm still figuring out what I'm doing with them. But I think the bigger thing I'll do in this world is the speaking and the writing. And so I think that probably comes first for me. But I do enjoy doing those a lot. And if you want to hear more about some of this journey, I go into it in depth in there. And have a lot of different interviews and stuff too. So
great. Well, thank you so much for your time. We're reaching the end, and it's just been a delight. I just can't wait to get this out there and share it.
Thank you so much, Joy. Yeah, I think just being bold and being willing to talk with God about these things and imagine yourself talking with him, I think is super powerful, because he definitely loves hearing from us and he's looking out for us. So I just leave that as the last thing. You can be bold. You can share the